Welcome to Buddy Watch. This is the podcast where we watch telly and overanalyze it for no real reason other than that it needs to be picked apart. And at the moment we're buddy watching The Block, Channel 9's renovation reality series at the Gatwick Hotel in St Kilda. I'm Vaya and I'm the new kid on the block. I've just started watching.
And I'm Kate and I've been around the block 14 times now and I'm thriving because of it. So don't worry about that, Vaya.
And we have our first guest on Buddy Watch. Someone from the block inner sanctum. I have Brett Bowman, TV producer, who has worked on the block the last four seasons?
Four. So since the Bloctagon, which was the weird-shaped building 4 years ago. So I've done the Bloctagon, the Soap Factory, as we called it.
In Port Melbourne.
Yes. And then Elstonwick, which was last year with the houses.
Yep.
And then this year, which is the Gatwick. So 4 seasons.
I'm a bit sad that they've dropped all the block pun names for the different series now. It's now just, you know, yeah. Block 2016 to 2018.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that. I think the Bloctagon was so cool because It was an octagon.
Vaya probably doesn't know that.
I guessed from the name, but I never tire of hearing the word Bloctagon.
And it was a real weird one for them to do because all the rooms were like triangles. Angles were all a bit wonky.
It was the site of a really kind of gruesome crime as well. Just Google like vampire gigolo attack.
Vampire gigolo. Not mentioned on the show, but yes.
Not Google at all.
Vampire gigolo.
Very little of the block venue's seedy past, at least this season, is mentioned. It was just like very quick, seedy underbelly, and then we move swiftly on.
I predicted some needle stick injuries in the first episode, but no, nothing.
I know they do go in and clean out all the building sometimes of that sort of stuff.
So pre-cleaned by the production team or staff hired by the production?
Well, I think they do a safety thing. I'm not fully across that, but I think they have to make sure the building's actually safe to renovate.
Then they re-trash it for the contestants to clean up again?
No, I don't think so. Who knows?
They just do a three-quarters of the way clean.
Like, some of those buildings are so run down, like, you know, you don't need to do any work to make it look bad.
Okay, Brett, I'll ask in a second what your role was on this current season. What other shows have you worked on? You've done a bit of reality, haven't you?
I've done mostly reality, apart from a six-week stint on Neighbours, which was years ago.
Oh, my God, Brett. Might have a little guest role on another podcast we could talk to you.
That was, believe me, very brief and I didn't contribute that much. I've worked on 20 to 1 and then mostly reality shows. So like all the way back to, if you remember a show called Top Design.
Yes, I do remember that.
I worked on that. Please Marry My Boy. the Big Brother seasons on Channel 9. So the last three that went to air. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And Love Island was the most recent one that I worked on in Australia. So I've done, and The Voice, Biggest Loser, like basically just all reality TV because that's all we really make.
Well, the other half of what we make is quiz shows and I work on all of those. So between us, we've covered the landscape of light entertainment,
yes.
Brett.
Yes.
Can I just pick your brain a little bit on Top Design? Because that was another Jamie Durie renovation show, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was meant to be like, I think it was originally pitched as like a classier block, you know, because it was all about high design and that sort of thing. Like if you watch the American one, it was actually really cool.
So there's a lot of like interior designers and an architect and that sort of thing as the contestants.
Yeah. It was like not, you know, your regular kind of tradies that the block always has. Yeah, it didn't do that well in the ratings. I think we were beaten.
I watched it
by an episode of Fireman Sam. Well, you must have been the only one.
Well, Kate is from a design world, so it is up her alley. If she wasn't watching, you would have had a few problems.
Yeah. It was actually an all right show. It just didn't catch on.
So those are some big ticket items in the reality world that you've worked on. Has your role been similar across those or have you changed roles?
I've changed on Top Design. I did casting and then was like a researcher. And then I got a job in post. So post is obviously where we put the show together after it's all filmed. And that's mostly what I've done since then. So you work up from like associate producer to what I am now, which is a producer, putting the eps together.
And we'll get stuck into that because that's what you've been doing on the block. But you mentioned casting, and some people might not know with reality TV what that actually involves. Like, because casting for a drama is you watch auditions and you pick who gets to be in it. What's the process for reality shows?
That's kind of the same thing. I helped out on Top Design casting, and that was like going through applications and things. And then the last couple of seasons of The Block, I've helped with casting. So we cut casting videos to send to the network. So people will send in their videos of themselves, like that's what Scotty always calls out for on the TV, like send in your video. That will get whittled down to a certain number of couples. And then they will come in for an audition, and then all that stuff gets cut into like a casting video to send them to the network. That happens on pretty much every show. But I flew down to Melbourne for the casting, so you just see how they are in person kind of thing. And so I could take notes so I knew how we were kind of selling them to the network.
So there was like something like 45,000 applicants this year. So there's a lot of chaff to sort from the wheat, isn't there?
Yeah. And that was done before I kind of go down there. They've picked their like top, I'm trying to remember how many couples we saw, like 30 or 40. And obviously, because so many people have applied, they can go back to those couples from before and recontact them kind of thing. You're always in the mix, I think.
I love now that, unlike in previous years, you see the final five couples as opposed to kind of earlier on in the block where there'd be like 10 couples and they'd all compete for five places and you'd be like, I don't care, just give me the meat of the show.
Yeah, I think they did away with that because I think people always complain that, you know, you're never seeing the final couple, you know, having to wait until the show actually kind of starts and then much more get straight into it kind of thing. Who knows, they might start that again, but I think it helps so you know who you're going to root for or not.
Exactly. Right, like the ads for Norm and Jess were like, don't call us bogans, our name rhymes with that, they'll all think we're bogans. And that surely would have endeared them to a lot of people.
Yeah, it's that's always the like thing with the casting, is finding the thing that will make them different from the other couple and stand out.
Did you have a little hand, or did you sort of give your two cents on any of the couples of the current season?
Yes. Like, even when we're down there, I'm down there with much more important people than me. You're always going, oh, I like these people for this reason, or I like these people for this reason. And all of the ones on this year was like, they all kind of, they always stand out. It's weird, but having done that now, I think three seasons I've done it, you can always kind of tell who will be in the mix, and there's usually more, a couple more that you're like, oh, these would be good. But it's usually all about the mix of how they're going to bounce off one another. You know, like, these are your nice ones, these are your maybe not so nice ones. And you don't always know, because, and the thing with The Block is people change as well. Like, there's certain other shows where if you're the villain, you're the villain, and no matter what you do, even if you're really nice, they will cut you as the villain. Whereas The Block, you know, people change. One week you could like a couple and the next week maybe not so much kind of thing. It goes backwards and there. It's much more realistic in a way, because it's not everyone's nice all the time.
It's funny you say that, because I had a bit of a turning point on what has thus far been this season's villain of Sarah. This week I just kind of like, well, maybe her husband's more of a problem than she is.
That's the thing. Like, anyone can kind of pop up and suddenly become a different
sympathetic
kind of thing than what, than what you thought they were.
Like, obviously a lot of people are quite savvy to the mechanics of reality TV and the formulas, and a lot of people are spouting a lot of hate about Sarah, but since almost the week one, I've been 100% into watching her, because I know that she's playing a certain role, not on purpose, but she fills a role.
Well, exactly. And like, we're always told that The Block is a soap opera. Like, it's a reality TV show, and I see a lot of people complain online about, when are they going to show more of the renovating? But believe me, I watched the renovating in the rushes, and it's people nailing and painting. Like, if you want that kind of, you know, how do I make this room? That's what, like, Better Homes and Gardens or the living, you know, the living rooms for.
Yeah.
Whereas The Block is a soap opera. Like, it's the, and if you go back and watch the first season, which is only like 7 episodes, it was the same thing. Like, they were all renovating, but it was all about the interactions of the couples in between, and that's why you watch. I think a lot of people get caught up in hating a particular couple, especially on Twitter, and once they do something bad, that's it, you know? Yeah. Like, they can't see them any other way. But you wouldn't watch... I know a lot of people didn't like Ronnie and Georgia last year or always complained, but they gave a lot of content to the show. Like, if you go back and watch it, they were always on the forefront of most of the storylines just because they were doing things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's funny because I was about to say that if you think Twitter's bad, the Facebook groups are brutal.
Yeah, yeah.
They are hectic. It lends itself more to kind of a stream of consciousness, whereas with Twitter, you're kind of punching it out one tweet at
a
time.
Yeah. And also Twitter, I think it's a different internet user to Facebook. Like, everyone's on Facebook. So you get mum and dad who are shat off about what the villain's done this week, whereas on Twitter, it's like, my parents would never tweet. Mind you, my parents would probably never slag people off on Facebook either.
Whereas on Facebook, you've got Sarah's dad weighing in.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, there is accusations on Facebook that Ronnie and Georgia were the producers' favourites. That was raised again, I saw this week. And I thought, was that true? Did you guys just like them for the content they were able to deliver?
Well, I think on having worked on so many shows, if anyone in the cast is, like, giving you stuff, you're going to use it.
Mm.
Some people go on these TV shows, and this is not just specific to The Block, and think that just by being on it, that's enough. Like on Big Brother, people would just go in the house and think, oh, I'll just do whatever I want. And that is true because that's what you're watching it for. But you also have to kind of be entertaining or be doing things so we can put it to air. Like, it's
yeah, true.
It's
nobody's going to watch you sit on your ass for like 12 hours a day.
No, because it's boring. It's like if people just painted on The Block and never had any fights or anything, like you
would be watching literal
it.
Paint dry.
Yes, you would. And I've done that having worked on these seasons. So you want the drama when they're fighting. And of course, there's on The Block, we have stories where, you know, something goes wrong with the renovation. So it is more of a renovation type thing. But you're always looking for the moments where the cast are kind of interacting and that sort of thing. And I think a lot of people online, they lock into what they get very black and white about something. So if someone does something wrong one week, that's it. Like Ronnie and Georgia were the villains the whole time. Whereas I would say when we got to the pool week last year.
Oh, but that was great for the viewers.
Having
we hated
the cash
Ronnie and
extortion.
Georgia.
Yes, yeah.
That was
yeah,
the
but
best.
I thought people would actually be sympathetic because yes, they put this pool in, but then they had all this money extorted from them. And some of it was, you know, should have gone to the other guys who were being inconvenienced, but after a while, it's like, God, guys, you know, just let them put the pool in.
I'll just paint a little picture for Vaya. There was five houses in a row and Ronnie and Georgia had the middle one and they bought this humongous concrete precast pool and had it craned into the backyard and the crane had to work over two other houses, which meant that they couldn't work on their backyards during that time. One of the contestants who was particularly lazy just said, all right, you can do that, but you've got to pay me. And if it goes over time, you're going to have to pay me a shit ton more. And it was... From a viewer's perspective, it was just like Ronnie and Georgia got their comeuppance that week. So everyone was behind the other guy.
But no one ever really got on Ronnie and Georgia's side because after a certain point, it's like, all right, you've taken like, I think it was like $25,000 off them. And it's
still, it gladdens my heart.
And it's not like it's their money. It's TV money.
Well, yes, it is. But still, they had to finish their renovation.
And a lot of people say, oh, I hope Sarah walks off The Block because I'm sick of watching her. And I just keep thinking, if she wasn't there, you would have put someone else in there that was just like her, that would stir the pot in that way. Then
yeah,
you're never
going
to get like a tea party.
No, and would you really want to watch them all like they do? There are moments when they enjoy themselves, but if you were doing that for 12 weeks, like I don't get why people accept it in a drama that people can fight or whatever else, but won't accept it in a reality TV show where, believe me, some of the things when they're always like, it's scripted. It's not scripted. The real people do things that are often like more insane than any scripted show. Some of the things you're just like, oh, we actually could not script how this is going.
Australian productions don't have the money to pay an additional script writer to come in and script the material.
No. They barely have the money for anything. So the only thing that gets scripted is kind of what Scotty would say at a, you know, like at a reveal night. You'll have what the judge's feedback is. That's as close to a script as you're getting.
Just a question about the reveal nights. The contestants don't get all of the feedback that we see, do they? they just get what Scotty's interpretation of it.
They do get all of the feedback we see. It's just if the judges say it, then we're not going to have Scotty repeat it, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah. So they get to see the vision, though, of them.
Oh, no, no, they don't see. No, they don't see the judges walking around. He just has literally script of what the judges said, or, you know, close to what the judges said. And then the only reason you won't see the judges say a certain thing is because, well, Scott's already said it. So it weaves between Scotty and the judges to make it more kind of compact and cohesive.
And I think the key element of drama comes from the fact that they don't understand the tone a lot of the time. They just hear the black and white of the words.
Yes, and then they interpret that however they want.
And so this week on the block was Living and Dining Room Week, which, Brett, you had a hand in producing. Which episodes exactly does your kind of tenure kick off and finish?
I did Tuesday night's episode where Kerry and Spence walked off over the ceiling clips.
We've got to talk about
clips. Yes, the clips. And normally there's, I'm trying to remember how many episodes are in a week. There's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And there's episode on Thursday. Yeah,
Hallelujah.
Right. I've worked on it, but I can't remember. Yeah.
Every week I text Kate to remind me if I'm meant to watch on Thursday night or not. I can never remember.
Well, there used to be a Thursday night show, but
I was so rapt that that was canned because I was like, that means we've got less of challenges. Thank God.
And Brett, who produces the challenges? Is there a separate segment producer that runs those?
Yeah, there's like a separate challenge team. I mean, they're all produced by the same team, but there is a challenge team specifically that does the challenges.
With Monday night's show, that's kind of the fallout after judging. How come you don't produce that one? Is that still the previous person's episode?
No. So they'll assign a producer and editor to every single episode in that week, just because there's so many episodes and you have to kind of get, like, if you get handed an episode, like, you could have 50 plus hours of vision to get through, like, because they're filming all day. And if you've got, sometimes episodes are 2 days, sometimes they're 1 day, like in the week. So my episode on the Tuesday was just 1 day of content. Usually you'll get 2 days of content. So that's, if you know, if it's 50 for 1 day and 50 for the second day, that's like 100 hours of footage that you're sifting through, because they film the couples all day times five. And then you've got the car cams, which could be if they drive all around Melbourne shopping.
Oh, God.
You know, like, I mean, a lot of, most of it is logged, but you still have to watch, you know, pretty much watch everything. Plus, you've got the interviews.
So, so how long would it take to make one episode then?
So we make an episode in 4 weeks.
You get
five. So you normally get a prep week where the producer will come on and start just watching the footage and deciding, you know, what we're going to follow, because obviously so much happens. So you get to look through your footage and decide kind of where the app's going to go. And normally you don't get through it all before your editor will then start. And then you've got, it's nearly 3 weeks to get it to a rough cut. And then you have a screening, and then you've got another week until you would have a final screening. And then you would go on to then has a network screening, and you get any chat, like you're getting changes and that sort of thing. So yeah, about 5 weeks.
When do the pieces to camera interviews come in?
The master interviews would be the ones where they're sitting in the couch.
Yep.
You get all the interviews at the same time. Like, it's all in there ready for you.
Do they record those on judging night?
Yes. They're actually done before judging. I think I can say that.
The reason I was piecing it together was because of Courtney's Fräulein Maria kind of plaited hairstyle. I was just following that because no one ever wears their hair like that more than once. So she had that for judging, yes. And then she had that in her interviews. So I picked it as the same day.
And you can hear them say, because it's done not long after they finish their room. And then they obviously do the interviews post-judging, which are the ones where they're standing up, like on the fly.
Yeah.
Like, so when
yelling
Sarah
at Tim.
Had her, yes, when Sarah had her moment the other week, that was post judging.
Quick question on Tim. So Tim, that Sarah was referring to in that shit crack moment, that wasn't her segment producer, was it?
No, I think I can say he's the series producer. But he would do interviews. He'd be one of the people doing interviews.
Could he sense that the volcano was about to erupt?
I'd probably say he did, yes, because she can't really hide her feelings.
And that's why I love her, because I'm exactly the same.
It's your ethnic girl from the west side, isn't it, Vaya?
She's my spirit sister. I don't think I'm as abrasive as her, but I can be if I gave it a crack. So what's the team called that is on site, like a location, that the producer that's on location that follows the couples around?
So there'd just be a story producer. So there's story producers for each couple, or they share a couple because it's such a big thing. And then there's the camera guys, and there's APs sometimes doing interviews, and like it's quite a machine down there. And they are essentially working on a building site all day as well, so it's pretty full on. Like I just sit in an edit suite in Sydney.
So did you visit the apartments, or did you do everything remotely?
We do everything remotely in Sydney. We put the show together up there, but then at the end of the year when we have the auction, there's a whole heap of us go down to Melbourne, and that's about the only time I'll see the site. Like we walk through the finished apartments like idiots because we've watched the show for, you know, for months.
That must be like breaking the fourth wall, going, oh my God, it's all real.
Yeah, it is. And then sometimes you see the contestants in their apartments because it's like near auction day, and that's always a bit weird. And you see how they respond to maybe how they think they were portrayed or whatever.
Is so it like the Truman Show where you go, I really know you, but you don't know me?
Yeah, it is. I've watched you for like however many hours and you have no idea who I am. Like, I mean, the block's not as bad as something like Love Island or Big Brother where it's 24 hours. So I've seen everything that you've done.
You must have seen a lot of nose picking.
Yes, seen a lot of nose picking amongst other things.
Do you approach them and say, oh, hi, I'm one of the post producers? Like, do you just try and play it incognito?
No, yeah, we usually do. And like pretty much everyone's friendly, you know, like they're like, hi, like they probably, like anyone, like my parents, have no idea what I still do. But no, they're always very friendly.
Well, let's take it back to Tuesday for a second. And because the block up of the week was obviously the incorrectly installed clips for Spencer's coffin.
The ceiling clips.
At what point when you were looking through the footage did you go, here it is, here's the gold?
Well, we get notes. We get like field notes. So someone's always taking field notes. So you're generally aware that it's happening. But like that happens, you know, all day kind of thing. So you really have to piece through and find the moment. Like you're watching so many conversations that sometimes don't go anywhere, or, you know, are like non-starter stories. Like something will come up and it just peters out. It has no resolution. But that was pretty obvious that we knew that was a big story for the week. And also because he was doing that coiffured ceiling that he'd done before, but on a much bigger scale. So that was probably always going to be the story, but not necessarily that he was going to have to pull it down or possibly pull it down.
You know what we call that here? We call that the block up of the week.
Oh, yes. There's always a block up. and they're never actually like faked. You know what I mean? Like people think, oh, they've done that. It's like, no, it's a building site. Like things actually come up all the time.
And it was just the biggest block up of the week, because I'm sure there've been others as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I think there's probably some more still to come, but I can't reveal anything.
Well, one thing I was going to ask you about was a few weeks ago, there was a moment where Jess intercepted the sales rep from Amazon and the Alexa computer like toppled over, and then for some reason it was broken and they couldn't install Alexa into their room. But we didn't get to see it. It all happened off camera.
Oh, really? There's a possibility, and I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, where sometimes it was missed, you know, like sometimes things happen and the camera, they're being filmed all the time, but sometimes, you know, you miss something. So that's just like, that's why I have Scotty narrating or saying, you know, what happened. These things play out over however many weeks. So sometimes we are picking up stories from like the week before and you're trying to follow that. Like, so Sarah finally winning her room on the Sunday, then we always know to thread that stuff through. We have like a big story meeting the producers on that week, and you go through what the major storylines are, and sometimes we work backwards from the reveal, because the reveal is technically the end of the week, so you know what the judges like or didn't like, so you'll focus on stories that lead up to that, so it all makes complete kind of sense when you get to Sunday. You follow their journey, to use a crappy reality word, of the week, you know, and of the room. We're always communicating because all the producers, like 20 of us or whatever, all sit in the same room. So you might have something happen in your week that might not pay off in that week, but will come up 3 weeks down the line. And so it's a kind of juggling act to make sure you're covering everything that you need to for the whole series.
Like, it's like putting in clues for some treasure that you're going to find down the track.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you've watched Unreal.
Yes, I have.
Yes. And so, and do the story producers have bags of tricks up their sleeve to sort of eke out a little bit of drama when they need it, or like jack it up a notch?
I think, on any show they have, like, I haven't really worked in the field, but I know people that worked on The Bachelor and that sort of thing, like, that does happen. And if you keep interviewing people on a certain question, eventually they start thinking, because they're in a bubble, like, it becomes their world, really. I mean, I don't think anyone deliberately like, Unreal is, like, I liked the first season of that show, but as soon as that contestant killed themselves and they didn't shut the production down, it's like, this isn't so real now, you know, like...
Well, it's interesting that Spence was saying this week after he had a breakdown, basically. He said he'd been speaking to a psychologist and the psychologist said to him, it's just a TV show. And he goes, and it is. So that was good. He had that bit of realisation as well, like was able to step back a little bit.
Yeah, they just get in a bubble. Like, it's worse on a show where it's like 20, like a Big Brother or a Love Island, where they just, that's their entire world. So even working on a show like that, you do get just stuck in, like, Big Brother, after 3 months of living on the Gold Coast, I would return to normal life once the show ended and you'd realise, oh, news actually happened. Like, we'd make the news package for the housemates and I'd be like, oh, that happened as well during the chart. Like, you just get caught up in it kind of thing and you can't, like, the blocks are not as bad as that.
But I can sort of see examples of where there might be a bit of massaging. Like, for example, when the brass bath was presented, all you had to do for Sarah is to kind of big her up a bit and go, we've never had a bath like this. We've never had an expensive bathroom like this. And plant a few of those seeds and suddenly she's kind of got a bit of wind in her sails. And I don't think it would take much to then.
No, yeah. Well, I mean, we hadn't seen a brass bath. So you're not doing, you know, anything out of the ordinary. And then they get so focused on their special thing. That, yeah, it doesn't take much to when everyone hates that thing, although the judges like that, for someone to, you know. And obviously some people are more prone to the dramatic than others. Let's just say that.
And the other big drama was obviously Spencer's mental health that spun off from the clip gate. And it was a little bit chicken or egg. You couldn't quite tell if he was already kind of spiralling and then the clips were the straw that broke the camel's back, or if they caused him to spin out, and then you couldn't tell if it was the show that was exacerbating his anxiety or if he was already an anxious person. It was just hard to make head or tail of it.
Yeah, well, I think the block especially, it's pretty high pressure. So
there's some bloody big prize money at the end of it as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of prize money. It's a lot of work. Like, every single contestant that I've ever seen go on there always says, oh, I didn't think it would be as hard as it is. But it, like, you are on a building site all day with a time pressure of getting a room done in a week. Like, they literally just have the week to get it done. And often it is down to the wire, you know, like they're still cleaning before time's up. So that always is going to magnify everything. Plus you're being interviewed all the time. Like, it is quite a high pressure environment.
In that same episode, which was, I think, Wednesdays, we saw Sarah have a real breakdown after she had a bit of a bingle in the car. I think that's the moment that my feelings changed for Sarah. I just thought, oh God, you poor bitch. You're like, you're having a really bad day. You've had some shocking weeks. And then now this is the straw that's broken your back here. Cause she put her Macca's bag over the camera and started screaming. And I just thought, oh my God, this is terrible.
Yeah. You're kind of reminded that they are real people. And like, Sarah's away from her family as well.
Yeah.
So that all kind of compounds.
You'd be going, is this worth it doing it? Probably not.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think everyone has that kind of moment on a show like The Block or on any show, like they realise, oh, what am I doing kind of thing. But there's always people to like talk them through that, because you don't want, like, you really don't want anyone feeling bad.
No.
You know, while they're on the show. Like, it's not good for the show. And it
brings down the vibe.
Mainly. Yes. Yeah.
The good thing is that it, like, there was a lot of discussion about men's mental health and mental health in general. And I just think that was a good outcome.
Yeah, and that's not something you always see on a show like The Block either, you know. You have to be kind of faithful to the people that are on there.
They humanise Dan a bit as well by him having a nice kind of like mentor-y kind of word with him about how he knows how hard it is to be a contestant and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that we'd have a bit more about Sarah's mental health. Not that she necessarily has those sorts of issues, but I think she definitely expresses her emotions more overtly and is a lot more sensitive to her surroundings. And I think that's a different type of mental health stress. And it's a shame that that isn't given that kind of examination. I'm talking about social media more so, or maybe in a current affair or whatever, but being the silent, brooding type is not the only type of depression. So hopefully people can see that. God, I mean, that's why it's good to include that moment with Sarah breaking down as well, not just cracking the shits.
I would love to see Sarah on either Yummy Mummies or like a Real Housewives. what do you guys reckon?
Oh, totally. Yes. Yes. She would.
She'd out. She'd go better than Jackie, I reckon. Stuff her. Get Sarah in.
Now, overall with these rooms, Brett, do you have favourites? Like, did you have a favourite living and dining room from your viewing?
I did. It wasn't the winners.
I reckon the netties. I reckon they were robbed.
The netball guys have a really nice style. I didn't mind Jess and Norm's, to be honest. I quite liked that. I liked the furniture, some of the furniture pieces she picked. I mean, they're all really nice. Like, I'd be happy to live in any of them, really. I mean, the massive...
The one testicle fireplace?
No, that was the... Shayna called it the tonsil.
My boyfriend was watching as well, and he goes, "That's a uvula."
Yeah. I didn't mind Hans and Courtney's, but I don't need two lounge rooms and a dining room. Like, that place is bigger than my apartment.
It's extra. It was extra.
Yeah.
Because what are you going to do? Like, if you're having a party, I mean, it's fine if you're having a party. People branch off into their groups. But not if you're just hanging out with your family or your housemates. You don't need two.
You know what that whole room is? It's a bloody hotel lobby. That's the only reason why you'd have two sets of lounges beside each other, because there's two different groups of people sitting there.
Yeah, and I think there's two TVs in it as well, isn't there? So someone can go watch the TV on the other lounge, but then you're going to hear the TV that's playing.
Everyone's going to have Bluetooth headphones.
Yes, yeah.
Go back to SA for a second, Kerry and Spence, with the coffered ceiling. Blood, sweat and tears worth it.
But that if you're going to put a coffered ceiling in, like the judges said, it really does need to be another metre higher in the air, I think. It's making the room feel really enclosed.
And I also liked, they didn't like, the ring lights that they put up.
I like those.
I like them a lot. They reminded me a lot of YouTubers filming themselves.
the D rings on your phone. Yeah. I think the problem with them is that the actual fittings to the ceiling are black. And like the black ceiling fan they've used, it just draws your eyes to these little circles rather than the beauty of the coffered ceiling.
Yeah, yeah. You don't really want to take away from that ceiling, especially after all the work, you know, he put into it.
Kerry and Spence used a pretty fug rug in their actual living space.
I like that rug, the green one. Maybe I've got taste.
No, the judges described it as being corporate, so maybe you're a bit corporate.
Oh, yeah, I get what they're saying, corporate, though.
Shayna dropped a contender for the sick burn of the week when describing this room and said that they had 90s boardroom styling.
Yeah, when you look at it, I kind of get that.
But that's still, like, fancy for me. Like, nothing I've lived in has looked like a boardroom of any kind.
No.
But maybe I'm kind of expecting to find some Arnott's assortments kind of in a drawer somewhere. Some old, like, Lipton's tea bags.
Or that blue, you know, the blue tin with the Danish biscuits in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
the
circle tin.
I'm well familiar. Yep.
Yeah. If you open it at my nana's house, there's like post-it notes and paper clips and stuff in there. Over to WA, Mile High Club, Courtney and Spence. How come no one's ever called them the Mile High Club on the show? It's sitting there right there as a nickname waiting for them.
You mean Hans and Courtney?
Yeah.
You called him Courtney and Spence.
Ah.
Sorry.
No, they had...
High Club, okay. Courtney and... That's a different show.
Hey, they would make a hot couple, Courtney and Spence, May-December romance.
Hey, guys, can I just point out to you that Courtney has personality and they have to prove that throughout the week, every week, that she's out there being zany, doing little dances. I'm just not fully convinced that she actually does have any personality.
Oh, I think I really like Courtney.
I like her too. I like her chill vibes.
Are you trying to persuade me that she has personality?
Well, she is kind of kooky, but that still is personality. Like, she does have personality. Like, she in my episode was shopping for the Balinese influence stuff, and we don't direct them to kind of go off and do the wacky stuff. But it's great when they do, because do you just want to watch someone shop? You know, in like freedom or whatever it is for like believe me, I watched Sarah in that store for She was in there for like 6 hours.
What did she do? Which store? Carpentor?
Globe West it was. Oh. And you actually need to make an appointment to go in there, so we can't just go down there, unfortunately.
What does one do for 6 hours? What was she doing for 6 hours in there?
I think she was panicking about her design because like stuff had been done before.
Oh, yeah. Crisis of confidence.
Yeah. She had a crisis of confidence. And so she spent most of the day there just wandering around, and I watched her spend a lot of the day there. Like, two other couples, I think, came through later.
That's
on.
Right.
Yeah. So she was literally just walking around asking for design advice, changing her mind, ordering things.
Yeah, thinking through what she was going to do, that sort of thing.
Over to WA, the biggest room in my, this is my trigger word, block history. If I hear that one more time.
You could fit the entire apartment from the first season in it. And believe me, I know, because that was in my episode and I had to double check that.
I don't care until you can fit the entire apartment block into a room. Yes. That's when you're calling it a big room.
Yes.
I'm sure that's coming up in the biggest block ever still to come.
This was the winning room.
Courtney and Hards made this room bigger than it should be. They took space from their little patio area to devote to this room.
Yeah. I don't understand why you would do that, because like that room was big enough already. You could have made something else out of that. You know, they, you could have put a wall up and...
They're shooting themselves in the foot when it comes to Terrace Week. Sorry, Terrace is the word. They're guaranteed to lose Terrace Week with a small terrace.
Yeah, I would think you would want more space in your terrace than in your lounge room.
I did enjoy the llama picture, the llama in the car.
I just feel they just didn't address the elephant, not the llama, in the room of there being two, like, couch spaces beside each other. It's just stupid.
What would you have put instead?
I wouldn't have made the room bigger, and I would have put in maybe one or two other couches to make the lounge space bigger. So, like, Kerry and Spence had, they had, like, kind of their conversational area was coming from three directions. I don't know. I just feel it's boring, this room, and I don't think it should have won in any which way. I think it's really sparse, too.
Let's move on from it, because it's annoying me. New South Wales was quite incredible because there was this big spat that they included in tonight's, in the room reveal episode, over a door, which seemed to pop up out of nowhere.
Oh my God, Vaya, this week, as I said, my feelings about Sarah have changed, and I feel that Hayden's, well, I've always thought he was an enabler, because clearly you'd have to be married to Sarah, but he said some really inappropriate and nasty things to Sarah during tonight's episode. An idiot... Stupid cow.
It's heinous.
If my husband spoke to me like that, and if he spoke to me like that on camera, I can't even imagine it. It's so disrespectful.
At least she was hinting that there may be a new husband on the horizon if he didn't put his cards around.
I am team new husband. She needs to ditch that douchebag, man.
But like the door thing came up out of nowhere, and sometimes that does happen. Like something will just blow up out of nothing, and then it looks like it literally came out of nowhere, because it did come out of nowhere, and you do your best to try and backtrack and find where it started. But yeah, sometimes an argument will just spring up in the middle of nowhere, and like Ronnie and Georgia last year, I remember, started like yelling at each other in the first episode, and it kind of just bubbled up out of nowhere, like the camera just caught it as they were screaming at each other.
It was a block up on Hayden's behalf, and he actually did tell her she was right, so... Yeah.
Well, he could have said it better.
Exactly. Well, he could have not been abusive to her previously as well.
But this birthed one of the best moments of the week, probably. The sick burn that came from Shayna, and I'll let Kate do the honours in a second, when Darren spotted copies of his and Shayna's design books in the display.
And then Shayna's all like side-eyeing and going, well, they obviously didn't open them.
Perfect delivery.
You'd be surprised how many contestants do put their books in the rooms, like thinking, I don't know, that they're going to somehow win just by putting Darren Palmer's book or Shayna's book in the room.
That's just naked desperation right there, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah. Or Vogue Living when Neil, I don't think he's with Vogue Living anymore. Like they'd have that in there as well.
Another one of New South Wales' fails was the wallpaper of Luna Park, which was just a big old hot mess.
I don't like that.
It's not pretty to look at in real life, let alone in a picture. Over to Queensland, the dangly fireplace that Jess got from Gumtree.
Or as Shana described it, the tonsil.
I kind of like it. I know it's a weird placement, which I think was to do with the flume or something. But I don't mind it.
According to Australian standards, it did have to be X amount of metres away from combustible surfaces. So that meant it couldn't be all that close to the wall or furniture. And
it was just hovering in the middle of the room.
Do you know what I did enjoy, though? Darren's love for it. I'm a little bit into Darren at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Faye's got a new passion now. First it was Ned from Neighbours. Now it's Daz from The Block.
Ned from Neighbours.
I don't know. There's something about Daz that just comforts me. And then during the week, I followed his Instagram and I was having a stressful day and I looked over and there's a picture of him standing in an empty pantry and I was just soothed.
He's a very tidy looking man, I have to say. You wouldn't get any of that Hayden bullshit from him, I reckon. Now, the big bit of marble that they had to put under the fireplace, which, again, Australian standards, they actually had to mount on top of the floorboards, that was described by Shana as a toe-stubbing hazard. I don't know. I just thought that looked like a piece of crap, too. I would have gone for something that toned in with the actual parquet flooring.
I think it's a shame because they had to move the fireplace that it kind of changed the look, I guess. And I think that marble was a last-minute addition.
Yes.
But they realised they had to put it on, so I don't know if they had a time crunch to... Well, they would
I think they were going to kind of set it into the floor and then they had to actually put it on top. I feel for Jess here because people were mocking how she pronounced the name of said marble and she described it as Calcutta marble. And then they tried to like mansplain away that, no, Jess, it's not from Calcutta, it's from Italy. When this is so harsh because... It's actually Calcutta marble, so it's so similar to Calcutta. Jess, look, I feel for you.
You can't not love Jess, though.
Do you actually see all the transactions with their gum? Do you see that the Gumtree person rolling up? And because
sometimes you will. It depends. I think that guy was interstate that she got it shipped from. I can't remember, but I know I remember seeing Ronnie go buy a wardrobe off someone off Gumtree last year because those guys used to do that quite a bit. Because why?
Oh, that's right.
You know, pay a ridiculous amount when you can get something close to it, and like Georgia painted it up and that sort of thing. So
I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
You often do. It just might not have made air because it was boring, or we didn't have any time for it in the show. You know, like you can only fit so much into a 40-minute ish episode.
I actually feel that this room would make me not want to buy their apartment.
Oh, that's a big thing for a living room.
I would 100% not want that fireplace in my house. I've got small children, so I'm probably not buying the penthouse at the Gatwick anyway, but I just look at that and I go, I would never light it because mainly I don't like open fireplaces, and also it just looks like someone's going to fall on that while it's burning. And like, in order to remove that, you'd have to, like, that'd be a bitch in itself. But then you've got like a big square hole in your parquet flooring. So it just looks like too much hard work. One thing that really shat me off in this room as well was the olive tree. I was like, oh my God, they've put a pot plant on that beautiful floor. That is just going to, you're going to get water in the floor. It's going to fuck up those floorboards and they're not going to be easy to replace either. So that's my passionate thoughts
like
about
Christmas
indoor plants.
Tree.
Is it going to grow bigger?
It mightn't grow too big. I mean, there's something you can prune back, but I think an indoor tree, like it's here for a good time. It's not here for a long time. That it's you're going to have to like go and dump that in a laneway sometime in the next year.
Oh, yeah. Just throw it off the balcony.
Finish off with Victoria. This is just gorge. I don't really have any specifics on it, Kate.
I love it. They've gone kind of like a bit more kind of industrial flair with this room. So they've painted all their windows black. And it's just led to a real kind of warehouse feel to the room.
I don't love the black curtains, like those dark curtains.
I'm a bit sick of all these sheer curtains, actually. Are these just placeholders?
Yeah.
They are?
No, I don't think so. No, they're actually the room has to be how it is when they sell the apartment.
I think they're there for privacy, to be honest, Faya. Like, I think that they must be overlooked somehow. And you basically can only really go black or white, really, if you're wanting some sort of neutral touch in your room. I generally don't like black. I would go for white myself, but it works with the black window frames for me here. And I like how they've picked up other black elements in here, like in the legs of the coffee tables and the dining table and chairs. I love that.
Yeah, it's very cohesive. And I like the artwork as well. That still ties into all the black with the blue in it and that sort of thing.
One thing you'll note is that they picked up on how good the flowers on their dining table looked, and that they used amaranth, which was used by New South Wales as well. And we didn't mention this, but New South Wales had the saddest looking floral arrangements you've ever seen. So it had amaranth, which is like this really droopy red kind of trailing flower in one vase. Then they had hydrangeas in another, and then tulips, just like a bit of a garage flower, off in another. And it just looks shocking. Whereas the Netties actually pulled it all together nicely with the amaranth and a big protea and a bit of foliage. And
But I don't understand how that is a game changer, because these flowers are going to die in a week or two, and it's not like you're buying a house for the flower arrangements.
No, but I think it speaks to the level of taste that they have.
Yeah.
That they go, oh, something that I've picked up down at Sev's, yeah, I'll whack that on a table, as opposed to the netties have been to a florist and said, make me something sophisticated.
Well, let's wrap it up. So I've already said my steal, which was the the mirror. No, I think I'll go Carrie and Spencer's ring lights I'm pilfering from that room. Kate, what would you take?
I had a steal, and then I didn't actually see it in the room reveals. There was a gold lobster, and I have no idea where it was or if it was used.
The girls bought the gold lobster. Oh, I think they did. It's not in their room, certainly. Yeah, sometimes they will buy things and will have filmed them out shopping or whatever, and then they change their mind and take it back. So sometimes that happens on the odd occasion. Or it could turn up in another room, be the gold lobster of foreshadowing. I really don't mind the artwork in the girls' room, that blue. I like blue. I really like that. And I did like the ring lights in Carrie and Spencer's. The judges might not have liked them, but I like them. And the llama picture. I would take the llama picture.
I love the llama. You know why? Because it belongs with the drama llamas, which is New South Wales.
I have to say, for me, it is Struggletown, population Kate. But I would take that Christian Cole dining table. That is beautiful and completely inappropriate for that room, though. Like, it just doesn't fit with the styling of the kind of modern furniture. Anyway, it can come and live at my house instead.
That's good, because don't we podcast off a trestle table at your place sometimes, Kate?
Hey. Let's lay off my dining room.
But you've got
Shayna. Shayna, please come to my house and fix it.
You need Shayna. You've got the vision there. We just need a.
I need some extra rooms. I've got a severe storage issue here that Shayna needs to come and sort out.
She would not be happy if she got there.
Oh my God, she'd be like, "There's no eye level storage. There's no under level storage. You're just basically in a wasteland of tubs here."
Brett, thank you. You're in New York at the minute.
I am, and I'm working on a new show called Forged in Fire, Knife or Death.
An American show?
Oh, is it making knives?
It's an American show. No, it's a spin-off of a show where they make knives. So the original one is Forged in Fire, where it's Project One Ray for knives and swords.
What the hell?
I'm not making this up. So four different like knife blade makers will make a sword. It's like a chat. They go through challenges. You build the knife, then you build the handle. And they eliminate people, and then the last two go home to their forges and make the same sword, and then they come in and get judged on it, and someone wins. And that's been going for four seasons.
What? And we haven't heard of it before?
Amazing. I think it's on Foxtel in Australia, but I'm on the spin-off, which is Forging Fire, Knife or Death, where...
You have to fight with the knives?
Pretty much. So imagine Ninja Warrior, but they're carrying blades.
Oh my
so
God.
They run through a course, like they have to chop through a massive block of ice and it's all timed, or they have to slice once through three different items like pineapples or onions. And if you don't slice all the way through in one hit, you get a penalty.
Like
it is
Fruit
as
Ninja.
Ridiculous as it sounds. Yes, it is kind of like there is a level or obstacle where melons fall from the roof and they have to slice them in half as they fall. Like there's like 10 melons or something. And it's the money thrown at this is ridiculous. Like it's like nothing I've worked on before.
I had to chop up some melon balls today with a fork. So I do feel for them. Cantaloupe was difficult.
You could probably run the course then. Just make your own knife or buy a knife or a sword from somewhere else, and you too could be a Forged in Fire, Knife or Death competitor.
This is my favourite description of anything I've ever heard.
The insurance must be a goddamn nightmare, though. Like, how do people get stabbed? Like, accidentally?
I think I can say, a couple of, hold on. Oh, what's in America? No one's going to... Well, maybe you've got a wide listening audience. I think there's safety officers, but, it doesn't always go great. Like, no one's killed themselves or anything like that, but... They get
no, it's seppuku'd with the sword.
Yeah, no. Or they get really tired from, it was filmed in Atlanta, so it's quite hot.
Oh, and the forge would be bloody hot as well.
Well, yeah, and it takes a long, some of the obstacles take a while to chip through. Like, it's all very scientific how they have to get through it.
Must be like going to the Royal Melbourne Show where you see, the wood chopping team, which was always my highlight of going to the show.
They do have wood choppers participating. I think there were rival wood choppers on the first season.
Oh, so you need some Tasmanians
against
there.
Each other. Yeah. It's interesting.
Vaya, we might have to buddy watch this show. We'll have to track it down somewhere and we'll watch an episode.
You can definitely find clips on YouTube. Just watch the teaser clip because it just looks insane.
I'd be happy just to listen to someone describe it to me like Brett just did. I just know the easiest audio way book is, of yeah, that.
Ninja Warrior. Ninja Warrior with swords.
Thanks so much for chatting to us.
Thank you for having me.
My God, that was a blast. I've learnt so many things about the block that I just didn't know before. So thank you so much.
I did learn a bunch of stuff, but now I've forgotten it all because all I can think about is swords.
Yeah, well, hopefully I didn't reveal too much.
People can follow you on Twitter?
Yes, it's at I'm Brett Bowman. I am not IAM, as I have to remind everyone.
We've all been Twitter buddies for bloody years as well, haven't we?
Yes, on the old Neighbours, which I'm now sadly not really getting to see over here in the States.
We'll forward you the special links.
Oh, good.
We're Buddy Watch, Buddy Watch Pod on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram and Facebook.
I'm at Remude.
And I'm at Vaya Pashos on Twitter.